Recording in progress.
Good evening. I call to order the Shoreline City Council regular meeting for Monday, November 17th, 2025. Will you please join me in the flag salute? Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Roberts?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Mork?
Present.
Councilmember Ramsdale?
Present.
Councilmember Scully?
Present.
Councilmember Adamasu?
Present.
Councilmember Poby?
Here.
Councilmember Robertson?
Here.
The next item is approval of tonight's agenda. If there are no objections or comments, the agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. Next on the agenda is the report of the city manager, Mr. Ellington.
Good evening, Council. I'd like to start today's meeting by sharing that this month is Indigenous Peoples Month. And in honor of Indigenous Peoples Month, we invite you to view a featured display here at City Hall by the Shoreline Historical Museum that highlights a special member of the Shoreline community. Edie Lawyer Nelson was a long-term board member of Shoreline Historical Museum and an honored Duwamish elder. The museum's display celebrates her legacy and the impact that one person can have on an entire community's history. The display is out in the lobby and viewable Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. from now until December 3rd. As a reminder, there is still time to donate to the Shoreline Food Drive. Donations can be dropped off at City Hall, the Shoreline Teen Center, and at several other locations throughout the city all month long. We're happy to share that our Shoreline Walks community walking program has started a new Tuesday walk group for fall 2025. The first walk is Tuesday, November 18th at 10 a.m. at Meridian Park. No registration is necessary. Just drop in and join volunteer walk leader Donna. The goal of the Tuesday walking group is to build a community of walkers who want to stay active and social together. Finally, I just have a couple of public reminders to share. The Planning Commission will meet on Thursday, November 20th in the council chambers at 7 p.m. The next council meeting will be on Monday, November 24th at 7 p.m. The Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Tree Board's next meeting is December 4th at 7 p.m. And for more information about these upcoming meetings, please visit shorelinewa.gov/calendar. And that concludes the city manager's report.
Thank you. Are there any council reports this evening? Councilmember Robertson.
Thank you, Mayor. And Saturday night was the very first lighting ceremony of the inaugural Shore Lights event and display in our city. And it was a real moment of pride. Starting at about 3:30 that afternoon, there was a cadre of volunteers who were setting up canopies and stringing lights and serving cocoa, and we were there. It was a long day. We were there till the late hours, packing everything up again. But the highlight, of course, were the hundreds of community members who came out, who made it such a memorable and special moment. The vision came to light. People were taking selfies well into the evening, and again this evening as I was driving here. And so just an immense gratitude and thanks for everyone who was a part of it. It was a really proud moment. So thank you to the council members who came. Thank you to everybody who supported this, you know, in appropriate timing. This is the first and only budget request I've ever had in 6 years. So thank you to everybody for supporting it. And I just love that vision. I'm feeling very generous tonight as a final note.
Thank you. Councilmember Ramsdale.
Thank you, Mayor. I attended this morning. I attended the North Urban Human Services Alliance Aging Committee, and we got some interesting news that Sound Generations will be severing its ties with the Senior Center in 3 years. So they currently support administratively three different senior centers in the area, and our senior center will be they'll be severing ties with that senior center. So the senior center will be on its own, similar to like the North. There's a senior center in Kenmore, I think, that also has already been separated from Sound Generation. So this is kind of big news. So they'll be getting ready to be on their own in 3 years. Thank you.
Councilmember Scully.
Thank you. I met with some folks with a nonprofit called Aurora Reimagined, which is a Seattle-based group that is looking to transform the corridor. Purely informational. They're not asking us for money. We're not giving them money. But I just wanted to know sort of what's going on south of the line. And we had a super healthy conversation, not only about infrastructure changes that Seattle could make, but how to activate public spaces, which for me is how you keep public spaces being places where we all want to be rather than places of disorder where you find needles and so forth. And I then went from there to all of our event, but mostly Councilmember Robertson's, to the lights and just thought, yeah, this is what we need to do. We need to make sure that these public spaces we have, particularly next to a highway, stay active and have lots of people in them. So I'm looking forward to opportunities over the years to come to make that happen in Shoreline and hopefully partner with the Seattle folks to get some of those spaces south of the line activated too.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Mark.
Thank you. I attended the Veterans Day event with many others, and during that event, the veterans gave thanks once again to Councilmember Robertson and her Heroes Cafe, which is perhaps not funded through the city, but is something that I don't know how it's funded a little bit. It is something that means a whole lot, and apparently it's the biggest one in King County. I also attended the Affordability Summit, which was really quite inspirational. It had a whole variety of people from government in different walks, whether they be council people or staff. They did a stack of how much the average, and emphasis that average is imperfect because every place is different, but the average utility cost right now in King County per month is $414. And with the rates that are being proposed, that will quickly grow much larger. So that was sobering and very informative. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Adamasu.
Thank you, Mayor. I also want to thank Councilmember Robertson for your vision and action to create Shorelights. It was so well attended and much more beautiful than I expected. Well done. I also attended the Department of Community and Human Services jurisdictional training on crisis care centers. These five centers will be located in four geographic areas. Currently, Connections in Kirkland is in our region, and they will have four more centers in King County operational by 2030.
Thank you. So, like was said earlier, it was really amazing seeing the community come together for the Shorelights event on Saturday night. And if you haven't gone and walked past them, they are going to be up until January 11th, so there's plenty of time to explore and jump in the trolley if you need to. Also, last week I was chaired the AWC Federal Legislative Committee, where we adopted recommendations on federal priorities to the AWC board. Okay, next on the agenda is public comment. This is the portion of the meeting where members of the public may address the City Council on agenda items or other matters pertaining to city business for 3 minutes or less, depending on the number of people wishing to speak. And how many people are signed up tonight?
Four total.
Okay. So if you could call these individuals first, and if you can, line up behind the podium. Please state your name and city of residence before you begin your testimony.
Okay, sure. We have got two in person. So Gordon Black and Marita Rabbit.
Welcome.
Rabid.
Mayor Roberts and members of the council. I'm Gordon Black. I'm on the board of North Sound Bicycle Advocates, an organization that represents the voice of all bicycle riders in this community and in South Snohomish County. A few weeks ago, I spoke to the council in regard to a budget amendment. And our organization, through me, expressed some concerns and reservations. Now that we know more information about the proposal for North 200th Street, I want to say today we have absolutely no reservations. We're unequivocally giving it our full support, and we'd like the council to support this budget amendment to see protected bike lanes on North 200th. In addition, I would like to say that part of the discussion last time included seeing the installation of protected bike lanes as something of a pilot project, and we would certainly like to avail ourselves with input on how that might look. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name's Marita Rabbit, and I own a home here in Shoreline. First, I'd like everybody say thank you for letting me speak tonight. I'm here to talk about the current tree code and the fee of significant tree removal and the impact it has on homeowners like me. I want to say I understand that trees are vital to our environment and our community, and I feel that the current code, which includes a fee to remove significant tree, is punitive, not only to hurting families without money. People with money to spare or developers will not see this fee as a deterrent, but many homeowners, like myself, require real hardship. The tree we're having to remove is costing us $6,900 in fees from the city. Had we removed it a year ago, it wouldn't have cost us that. We're having to either use credit cards, taking money out of a 401k, or home equity loan with high interest rates. Our 80-foot redwood that is 100 feet from our home, 10 feet from our home, was topped by the previous owner. It's had three separate failures in the last 14 months, and each failure involved tops breaking off. Each time, roughly 500 pounds of wood came down from 40 feet in the air. We have been lucky. None of these massive pieces of tree have hurt anyone, landed on our home or our neighbor's house. But each failure has left the tree more compromised than before. And it's a co-dominant tree, now with one trunk at 40 feet tall and the other at 80 feet tall, and it's hanging over our house. We've had an arborist come out and say the tree needs to be removed within 3 months, and it prevents a high risk of structural failure. The city code does not allow this tree fee to be waived, as it's not considered an extreme risk or hazardous. Our situation highlights a broader issue. While trees are important, the current code that was adopted this year does not always account for safety concerns and financial burdens homeowners are facing when mature trees are planted too close to their homes. We need a balanced approach, one that protects our urban canopy while also protecting families and their property. I urge you to consider updates to the tree code and provide flexibility when trees pose a direct risk to people and property. Let's create a framework that values the environmental stewardship and homeowner safety without placing undue burden on families who simply want to just take a tree down and know that our house is secure. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Oh, and considering my concerns about evaluating the tree code.
And we have two people online.
Yes, next is Lucy Hyatt.
I mean, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, Mayor Roberts and council members. I'm Lucy Pyatt, and I'm the Director of Financial and Education Programs at Hope Link. I'm here this evening in support of and gratitude for the consideration of Amendment 5 to the mid-biennial budget amendment, granting Hope Link additional funding to provide utility and rental assistance for qualifying shoreline residents. We want to share with you that in the past 4 months, we've seen an average of 130 shoreline households requesting financial assistance each month. And the requests in just the first 2 weeks of this month, halfway through, are already at 70% of that amount. And so we are anticipating increased need and requests for assistance this month. Additional assistance will allow us to support housing stability and sustained utilities as it's getting colder, And this month, requests for assistance reference needs due to SNAP cuts, medical crises, including stroke, foot and back injuries, an emergency root canal, as well as car accidents, domestic violence, increased costs of winter, and the ongoing challenge of high cost of living, high bills, and employment that doesn't cover all of the needs. So we're continuing to hear from clients who are grappling with new levels of insecurity due to SNAP cuts or increased costs. And we deeply appreciate the support of the City of Shoreline in responding to the ongoing need. In the first three quarters of this year, we served 113 Shoreline households with financial assistance, representing 258 residents. With the additional assistance, we can continue to respond to the Shoreline community in this moment when we know that the needs are continuing to soar. Thank you for being here for our community, and thank you for supporting HopeLink in our shared work, and we hope that you have a good evening.
Thank you.
Next is Heidi Shepherd.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Roberts and Shoreline Council members. My name is Heidi Shepherd, and I am a longstanding resident of more than 40 years in the City of Shoreline. I am also the board president of the North Urban Human Services Alliance, who I'm representing tonight, otherwise known as NUSA. I'm joining you tonight to encourage you to pass Amendment 6, $50,000 for food assistance cards at Safeway, for our community members in need of the basics to provide food for their families and themselves. In the past, these food assistance cards were funded through various channels, such as ARPA during COVID, and they supplemented the SNAP benefits for those who qualified for them. But this year is even more dire. I am sure that you know that the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits have only recently been restored, and they are working their way through the system. The inability to count on this critical benefit has also created undue stress for many in Shoreline. I was a single parent for many years when my children were attending Shoreline schools, so I speak from experience. Not being able to feed your children nutritious food or enough food is a constant fear that never really goes away. By providing food assistance cards, we can support the physical and mental health of our residents. For these reasons, I urge you to approve budget amendment number 6. Thank you for your continued service to all of us.
Thank you. Those are all the people who have signed up. If anyone would like to address the council at this time who's in the chamber, please come to the podium and begin your testimony with your name and city of residence, please.
My name is Stevie Berklid. I live in Mount Lake Terrace, and then I own the Fast Signs franchise in North Seattle, so kind of just on either side of Shoreline. But I wanted to just say thanks to Betsy in particular, and the whole council and everybody about the Shorelights event. We got to participate in that on the business side, but on a personal level, I haven't really felt that much a part of a community in a long time. And that's something that I think a lot of us need right now. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be part of that and the opportunity to see everybody who came out enjoying it. And I don't know, I felt hopeful for the first time in about a year. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you. That's it. Anyone else like to address the council at this time? Okay. The next item is approval of the consent calendar. Is there a motion, Deputy Mayor?
Yes, I move approval of the consent calendar.
I second that.
The consent calendar has been moved and seconded. Will the clerk please conduct a vote?
Councilmember Adamasu?
Aye.
Councilmember Scully?
Aye.
Mayor Roberts?
Aye.
Councilmember Robertson?
Aye.
Councilmember Poby?
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Mork?
Aye.
Councilmember Ramsdale.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is action on ordinance number 1040, adopting the 2025 to 2026 mid-biennial budget amendment and the 2025 to 2030 capital improvement plan update. And we do have a staff report. Welcome.
Good evening. It's good to be back here again. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Joe Brancetter, Administrative Services Director. We are here to discuss the adoption of Ordinance Number 1040, amending the 25-26 biennial budget. This process officially kicked off in early June, but behind-the-scenes work in the budget office started well before that. This budget reflects not only the very detailed, hard work of the budget office, but the efforts of staff across the entire organization who helped bring this budget together. Thanks to responsible fiscal decision-making by this council and staff, we're in a position this mid-bi to address the issues outlined in the proposed budget and also consider several additional council amendments that will be discussed later tonight. With that, I'll turn it over to Christy Hopkins, our budget and tax manager.
Good evening. A quick reminder of where we are in the mid-biennial update process. On November 3rd, staff presented the 25-26 mid-biennial update, including revenue sources, 2026 property taxes, 2026 fee schedules, and 25-2030 CIP update. On the same night, council held two public hearings, one for property tax and one for the mid-biennial budget, CIP, impact fees, and fee schedules. Property tax, impact fees, and fee schedules are on the consent calendar. The only item on the action calendar for tonight is the adoption of the 2025-2026 mid-biennial budget update. There are six potential council budget amendments outlined in the staff report, and we have future slides in this presentation for any of those amendments that council wishes to bring forward, as well as a slide to show the impact of the council amendments on the general fund reserves. For the first item, the staff recommends to adopt Ordinance 1040, amending the 25-26 biennial budget as presented. So now I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Councilmember Scully.
I move to adopt Ordinance Number 1040, amending the 2025-2026 biennial budget as presented.
Second.
Councilmember Scully.
Thank you. I actually want to start with a question. We've got some proposed amendments here. They're all one time. And so my question is, what is the impact on the budget of approving all of them? And I understand the basics. We all understand the basics. The more we spend in one time, the less we have available in reserve, the less we're able to deal with catastrophes, et cetera. But given all of those basics, it seems to me that these are fairly small dollar items. And so I'd just love your opinion and your information on what happens if we go ahead and just pass them all.
Oh, I appreciate that question. When we look at fund balance, we're always looking at fund balance as a percentage of our overall expenditures. We want to be in that 20 to 25% range. We're squarely in the middle of that. So these amendments tonight do not significantly move the needle towards that lower percentage.
All right. Well, then I'm going to steal a lot of thunder. I move to adopt amendments 1 through 6 as presented.
I second that.
Okay, Councilmember Scully, to your motion.
I have nothing to add to what I just said.
Okay. Any further discussion? I'll have one question. Sorry. Councilmember Ramsdale, the amendment that has been proposed by Councilmember Ramsdale is funds for the it's capital project, funds in the roads capital fund. It is projected and was discussed the last time it was brought up here that this project would not be complete. I mean, it would be several years before this project would be completed. When thinking about the budget and sort of how these future capital projects are allocated, how does that actually impact the sort of what you just said about sort of the overall fund balance? Since it's not affecting this year's budget, but it's affecting a...
Sure, and Christy can speak to that, how we track some of these items that we know are coming in future budgets.
Yeah, so the $390,000 would be set aside in fund balance, and actually this request is budgeting in it, in this biennial budget. So what will happen is the budget, you know, the project won't be completed. It will be carried forward into the next biennium.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? Deputy Mayor Mark.
I have a question about the $100,000 seed money. Is that also going to be a future cost, or is city ready to go at this juncture for that one?
That would be a future cost, and more of the details would need to be fleshed out, but this would be set aside as seed money once that program is established.
So it's the same basic story?
That is correct.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Okay, will the clerk please conduct a vote?
Councilmember Ramsdale.
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Mork.
Aye.
Councilmember Popey.
Aye.
Councilmember Scully.
Aye.
Mayor Roberts.
Aye.
Councilmember Automasu.
Aye.
Councilmember Robertson.
Aye.
That amendment passes unanimously. This brings us back to the main motion as amended. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please conduct a vote?
Mayor Roberts.
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Mork.
Aye.
Councilmember Ramsdale.
Aye.
Councilmember Scully.
Aye.
Councilmember Automasu.
Aye.
Councilmember Popey.
Aye.
Councilmember Robertson.
Aye.
And that motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
We are moving really right ahead. The next item on the agenda is discussion of resolution number 555, amending the employee handbook. And we do have a staff report.
Really eager to get to this topic, I can tell. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, I would have stayed as late as we needed to get to this topic. You didn't have to rush to get to me. I love it. All right, well, hey, good morning, good evening, Mayor Roberts and council members. My name is Livy Smith Ue, and I am the Human Resources and Organizational Development Director for the city. I'm here tonight to discuss proposed changes to the City of Shoreline Employee Handbook, which contains the city's personnel policies. I'm going to keep my prepared comments brief, unfortunately, I know. But I'm happy to answer any questions you have about the lengthy staff report that I did provide. So, as you know, the employee handbook was first adopted in 1996 by Council Resolution 104. We've made periodic updates as a city when laws or practices or policies have changed, and our most recent handbook is the January 1, 2025 handbook. Before I jump into the specifics, I just have to say what a year it has been for Washington State employers. We had an incredible regulatory experience with the City of Shoreline needing to adopt changes into this handbook based on 14 state laws. Two federal laws that changed, and that doesn't count the 11 other laws that were enacted that didn't actually impact us as a city, but did impact other employers in Washington. So it's just it's an amazing year from our legislature. So the updates were reviewed by the city's attorney office. We also had outside legal counsel taking a look at the edits that we made, again, with the intent of reducing liability, increasing transparency, and clarifying the procedures and practices that we have as a city. These proposed changes are a continuation of some of the changes that we saw in the January 1, 2025 handbook. We're addressing some policy gaps, and we're further clarifying and memorializing practices.
So some of the changes I mentioned are in response to regulatory changes, things like changes to the Washington paid sick leave and leave and safety accommodations for hate crime victims. We have changes that are coming for Washington paid family and medical leave, and then changes to workers' compensation code. So lots of things coming at us as a city. We're also incorporating things like bi-directional accountability in our hybrid workplace practices, where we've had long-standing policies, and we really want to ensure that those are meeting the operational needs of the city. We are adding policies that are allowing us to continue to mature some of our talent management practices, things like refinement of out-of-class pay and introduction of performance expectations memos, professional references, in instituting social media guidelines, and actually the creation of special duty assignments. And then, of course, when you get to make updates to a handbook, you can't help but make the housekeeping edits throughout it as well. So those are the big pieces of the changes. What questions do you have for me?
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? You're not going to get off that easy. But
I was looking forward to the 104 that Councilmember Scully promised. Yeah. It'll just prepare me for the other conversations I need to have about the handbook. So.
Thank you. So my question is, when I was reading this, I noticed that there are some places where it talks about city employees and then other places where it talks about regular employees. And just sort of as an example, on page 27 or 98-123, it is a long, a lot of red lines. It talks about upon hire to a regular position, but regular position is not does not feel like it's defined. There's a benefits, I mean, there's a full-time benefits eligible employee, and then there's a part-time benefits eligible employee, but regular is not actually, I did not see a definition for what a regular employee is in the handbook. So, I mean, this is me just with a microphone. A magnifying glass, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, what page?
It's 9A123 is what I was looking at as sort of one definition of, in this particular case, upon hire to a regular position.
Yeah.
But regular position in the definition is not defined that way, or at least it's been changing. It's kind of changed to something slightly different.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And what I would point you to is under 9A113, where we have employment status, and we see regular full-time and regular part-time.
Right. And with the strikeout of in the definition, the word regular.
Yes.
To change to benefit eligible. So that's why I saw regular elsewhere. I was like,
Yeah, I prefer that we not use the term that we're defining within the definition of the term.
Right.
And so rather than calling a regular full-time position a regular position, I would want it, what it actually means is benefits eligible.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I saw, but I just, since regular was not, regular was defined as regular full-time and regular part-time, is there
And I think the intent of that policy is that whether you're part-time or full-time, if you're in a regular position.
Right.
But thank you. That's
I just wanted
point.
To, again, magnifying glass, and also we are, did not spend much time on the previous discussion. Any further discussions on this? Deputy Mayor Wong.
I just want to make sure I understood that. Both of these positions that are under the regular full-time or regular part-time have benefits?
Yes.
Thank you.
By definition, yep.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any objection to seeing this on consent? No objections there. Okay, we'll see this on the consent calendar when it comes back. And with that, our meeting is adjourned.